Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. Merry Christmas, church. Maybe a couple days early, but I hope you and your family have a wonderful week this week celebrating the birth of Jesus, our Savior, together. I do hope, of course, among all of the candy and the food and the gifts, that you do remember the reason that we celebrate this in December each year. It's because of one reason and one reason only, even though we sometimes get caught up in all of the other things, it's because of the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. The Messiah that was promised and prophesied about hundreds of years before had come to earth to show us how to live, to show us how to love, to show us how to serve, and ultimately to give himself up as a sacrifice for our sins and save us. I ran across a family devotional book for Christmas that connects with these messages last Sunday and today very well. It's actually titled Promises Made, Promises Kept. You can see it there on the screen. It's one of those flip books where you read one side and then you flip it over for the promises kept. It's actually for families with children. And you read a story each day of the week before Christmas, and then you flip it over at Christmas, and you read the other stories for the week after Christmas. And it has some questions in there for parents and children to discuss together. So it's a little late for this year, but I thought, well, it's something that you families could keep in mind for next year and maybe get that to go through with your family next Christmas. One of the messages last Sunday, we went, through some of the Old Testament prophecies that point toward Christmas and the birth and life of Jesus. You can see those again on the screen. This morning, we're going to focus more on the fulfillment of those promises in Jesus and what all that means for you and I today. And so for our main text this morning, I invite you to turn in your Bibles to the first chapter of Matthew. We just heard the Christmas story read from Luke. And of course, both Matthew and Luke are the main gospels that tell us some of the details about Jesus' birth. These particular verses in Matthew 1, 18 through 25 are when the angel appears to Joseph, who was engaged to Mary at that time. And we see there on the screen, and we talked about it last Sunday, that Isaiah prophesied that the Messiah was going to be born of a virgin, and he would be called Emmanuel. So think about the situation that Joseph is in here. You know, Mary is pregnant, and Joseph knows that he's not the father. So, you know, he's surely stressed out about how he's going to handle this whole situation in public. And so the Lord sends an angel in a dream to give him direction and assurance. So we'll be reading verses 18 through 25 of Matthew 1. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Promises are, you know, often a very finicky thing. As God's people, we should be known as people who keep our promises, of course. And yet, because of sin in our world, we too often fail to do that. In this world, we also don't have many good examples to follow either. We know nations will, you know, sign important treaties, and then they will break those treaties. Politicians make great campaign promises and oftentimes fail to deliver on them. College coaches sign contracts that are quickly just thrown aside when the next best opportunity comes up. Too many couples make vows and promises to each other on their wedding day and then forget about them when the relationship gets difficult. And we see that this even in Scripture. Peter promised this to Jesus in Matthew 26. He said, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." After he did that three times, he heard the rooster crowing in the background, just like Jesus had said that he would. With that said, we also need to point out some positive here. There are also times that people in this world do keep their promises. Those people show that they can be trusted. And it's also, of course, a sign of good character in a person that will keep their promises. Some politicians actually do keep their campaign promises. And many marriages last for 50, 60, or 70 years. By the way, I don't know if you noticed, Larry and Pat Yoder celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary this week. So congratulations to them. It is a true blessing when a promise made is a promise fulfilled. You might remember the men's movement back in the 90s that was called Promise Keepers. One of the main goals of that ministry back then was to encourage men to keep their promises to God, to Jesus, to their wives, to their families, and so on. Really, what we need today is a movement of Jesus followers, men, women, and children, all of us, who will be promise keepers in our everyday lives. While that is true, and that is always a good thing, we do know, thankfully, that Jesus will forgive us when we sometimes fail at this, as Peter did. You know, Peter failed and yet was still a very important part of Jesus' ministry and a very important part of the 12 disciples. So there is hope for all of us. But that hope is only found in Jesus, the Savior, whose birth we celebrate this week. When we move past the sometimes fragile promises of humans, and we consider the promises of God, we realize how good and faithful our Lord really is. You know, the birth of Jesus and the coming of the Messiah at Christmas is a great example of that. Yes, we know. We heard about it last week. We hear about it all the time. The Lord spoke through those prophets, Isaiah, Micah, Zechariah, Jeremiah, many others, about how the Messiah was going to come into this world and how he would live and how he would give his life for all people who believe. And how he would conquer death and save us for all of eternity. When Jesus was born on that silent night, it was a wonderful night in Bethlehem, some 2,000 years ago. And on that night, all of those promises about the birth of the Messiah were fulfilled. They didn't call it Christmas back then, of course, but Christ, Jesus Christ, is definitely the reason that the world has celebrated this day, this time of year for centuries. I've been reading a short book this month that's titled The Case for Christmas by Lee Strobel. Lee has written many books like this. Perhaps some of you have read some of them. The Case for Christ, there was even a movie, I believe, by that title. The Case for Easter and so on. He's written others as well. Some years ago, he was a journalist for the Chicago Tribune. And during those years that he was a journalist for the Tribune, he was an atheist. That was until his wife became a Christian. And he started to research, study, and investigate this newfound faith of hers. He said that after she became a Christian, he could tell a vast difference in the person that she had become since she made Jesus the Lord of her life and started to live for him. In this book, Strobel sits down with a pastor who grew up in a Jewish family and then in his adult years discovered that Jesus is the Messiah that the Old Testament scriptures were pointing towards. His study of those scriptures had revealed more than four dozen major predictions or prophecies in all. Many of those we looked at last Sunday. Then he turned to the New Testament and discovered how all, not some of those, were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Could it have been a coincidence? Strobel asked him. Not a chance, his Jewish friend replied. He said, the odds are so astronomical that they rule that out. Someone estimated that the probability of even just 8 prophecies being fulfilled is 1 chance in 100 million billion. That number is millions times greater than the total number of people who have ever walked on the earth or on the planet. As his friend told Lee Strobel, he said, the odds alone say it would be impossible for anyone to fulfill the Old Testament prophecies. Yet Jesus, and only Jesus, throughout all of history, managed to do it. You see, God is a promise keeper. He will always come through on the many promises he has made to us in the Bible. And that brings us back to the main text for this morning. Verse 18 of Matthew 1 says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. And then he goes on, he tells the story of Mary and Joseph's engagement and how Joseph was unsure about it. He knew that Mary was pregnant, that he was not the father. But then in verse 20, the Lord sends that angel to Joseph in a dream. He tells him that this baby in Mary was conceived by the Holy Spirit, just as Isaiah had promised. The angel said that Mary was going to give birth to a son and that his name was to be Jesus. Why Jesus? Well, because the name Jesus means Yahweh saves. God has come to earth to save all people from their sins and offer an opportunity for them to restore their relationship with him. Then comes Matthew's connection to those Old Testament prophecies. In verses 22 and 23, he writes, all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, which was, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Some people sometimes ask, why is the virgin birth so important in all of this? Well, the reason is that Jesus came into the world fully human and fully divine. And because he was sinless, he could not be born with the sinful nature that was passed on to us from Adam and Eve. He was the sinless Son of God, conceived by the Holy Spirit. And yet, because he was human, he could fully understand our experiences, the pains that we have in this world, and the struggles that we have to deal with in this world. He's been in our shoes, in some sense. And yet he has the ability to forgive, to heal, and to renew us. That's really what we need to take home this morning as we think about this Christmas week, this Christmas celebration this week. We need to take home the promises of Jesus in the Gospels. You know, we've seen how the Old Testament promises have all come true. And now on Jesus' birthday, we need to be reminded of his life-giving promises for us as we live today in the here and the now. In Matthew and Mark, Luke and John, Jesus in the four Gospels used many I am statements that connected him with the name of God in the Old Testament, proclaiming that he was God. He said, I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And of course, there were many others along with those. But Jesus also had many I will promises in the Gospels as well. These are our statements and assurances from our Savior that we can count on in our everyday lives. In the New Testament, there are actually over 30 I will statements that are often used in reference to the promises of Jesus. And he will never back down on any of those promises that he makes to us. We can't cover all 30 of them this morning, but let's quickly cover 6 of them. First and most importantly is the promise of salvation. Of course, John 3:16 is always a favorite promise on this one. God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. In John 6:37, right after Jesus said, I am the bread of life, he also said, all those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. In John 3, verse 36, Jesus said, whoever believes in the Son will have eternal life. Many other times he promises that he will never leave us, forsake us, or turn us away if we come to him for grace and salvation. Then Jesus promises to make us a part of his mission here on earth. Sam talked about that a couple weeks ago, his calling. In Matthew 4:19, Jesus said, come, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. You know, so often we tend to think negatively of ourselves. You know, we don't think we are smart enough, talented enough, or good enough to be used by God. And that just isn't how Jesus sees any of us. At times you may feel inadequate, you may feel unqualified, but Jesus says, I will make you a disciple that can share the good news of my kingdom. I will make you a fisher of people. Jesus will lead you and lead your transformation. All you have to do is follow him and answer the call that he places on your life. Next, Jesus says, I will guide you. He'll help us in that calling. In Luke 6, when Jesus was talking about building your life on a solid foundation, he said, as for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. Then he goes on to tell the parable of those who build their life on the rock instead of the shifting sand. I will show you. I will guide you. I will be there to help you. I don't know about you, but I sure need that in my life. You know, guidance for our lives comes from being close to Jesus. When we have a close relationship with our Savior, He reveals His will for us, and we can see His guidance. And when we are in that kind of a relationship with Jesus, we will make decisions and take paths in life that glorify our Lord. And then there is the one that is so needed at times in our life, the promise of rest and peace. Matthew 11:28 is such an important promise for those of us who live busy, hectic, and hectic and stressful world. Jesus says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." One verse later, Jesus says, "For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." The greatest promise we could ever receive from God is that we will never be alone in this world. When we are tired, we can rest in Him. When we feel like we can't go on, Jesus reassures us that we can. When our walk with Christ seems dry and maybe uninspired, we can be renewed and on fire again if we call on His name and find this rest that Jesus is talking about. "I will give you rest," He says. And then there is the promise of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that when He ascended into heaven, He would send the Holy Spirit into our lives to be our guide, our advocate, our counselor, our comforter, and our helper. In John 14:15-18, Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever." A couple verses later, He says, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Christians receive the Holy Spirit at the moment that they accept Christ in their hearts. And that Spirit then guides us. It helps us when we face those difficult crossroads in life that we come to at times. And it also, the Holy Spirit also convicts us of sin in our life. Sin that needs to be repented of so that we can be forgiven. The Holy Spirit comforts, gives understanding, inspires, and empowers us. As Jesus said, "I will come to you." And finally, a sixth promise of Jesus is that of eternal life with Him in heaven when our life on this earth is over. In John 14:3, Jesus said, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am." Jesus said, "I will come back." We have that promise. He's preparing a place for us in heaven. And when He is ready, we who are believers will go and be with Him in that place. Our futures are settled. We will see Jesus again and spend the rest of eternity worshiping Him in heaven. You see, we are promised the full blessings of God because Jesus said, "I will." First, He made His promise of divinity known by stating, "I am." And then He reminded us of His understanding of humanity by promising, "I will save you, call you, guide you, give you rest, comfort you, and be with you for all of eternity." If you know Jesus and if you believe in Him, you know how true these promises are. If you make Him the Lord of your life, you can see them fulfilled in your life every day. You know, just like those promises, those Christmas promises from the Old Testament were fulfilled in God's perfect timing through Jesus, even though it took 600-700 years from those prophecies, these new promises of Jesus were born into this world on that silent night in Bethlehem. Our world may still have turmoil and war and hurt and pain and the results of sin, but the birth of Jesus, you see, that's our saving grace. Christmas is the reason that we can find joy in the midst of a troubled world. Christmas is the reason that we can find hope. Christmas is the reason that we can have peace. Not because the world is at peace, but because we can be at peace, knowing that God is going to be with us through it all. Amen? Well, I wish a Merry Christmas to all of you this week. And hope you enjoy the times getting together with family and friends and celebrating the birth of our Savior Jesus. Let's stand at this time and let's go to the Lord in prayer. After the prayer, our sending song is going to be Joy to the World. Why do we have that joy? Because God is with us. And wasn't that a wonderful hymn medley? They covered a lot of the hymn, a lot of the carols or our favorite songs at Christmas. And one thing that especially always touches me is O Holy Night, which that is a hard song to sing, but they did a wonderful job with it. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, light of the world, we thank you for this time of Christmas in which we can celebrate together that you came to save us, that you came to this earth as a baby, human yet fully divine and fully human. Lord, we thank you that we serve a God who can relate to us, who knows what we are going through and the many things that we face in this world. We serve a God that is not distant and way out there, but a God that is in our lives. And Jesus is the reason that we know that that is the truth. Lord, as your people, we pray that as we think about these many promises that we've talked about the last 2 weeks, we pray that we would be people that keep our promises, that we would take that seriously. Lord, we thank you that you are faithful to us and that you do keep your promises to us. We celebrate your coming to this earth, but Lord, we know you gave up your life. You ascended into heaven. You arose from the grave and ascended to heaven. And someday, Lord, you're coming back. But in the meantime, we know that as we pass on from this life, you've prepared a place for us in heaven. And that gives us hope and assurance. So, Lord, thank you again for this time of year. Thank you for each one here this morning, those watching online. I do pray, Lord, that if there's anyone who needs to receive you into their life and to know this change that Jesus can bring, that Lee Strobel's wife, that Lee Strobel noticed in his wife, I pray that that can be noticed in us and that we can realize the difference Jesus can make in our day-to-day lives. Thank you for each one, Lord, and be with us as we celebrate Christmas this week. It is in the name of our Savior Jesus that we all pray and we all say, Amen.